From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Gospel, the Foundation and the Fullness of the Christian Life. In verses 8 through 15 of chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaks of his personal knowledge of the power of the gospel of Christ. Paul is not simply preaching theological concepts. He had experienced the life-changing effect of the gospel in his own life, and his one desire was to make that gospel known to as many people as possible. In the text before us, Paul emphasizes that the gospel must make itself known in the lives of those who believe it. He rejoiced in the efficacy of the gospel to transform sinners into saints through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In addition, Paul had personally experienced the power of Christ's merits. He knew that there was nothing else that could prevail in God's sight for the salvation of lost, guilty sinners. Then Paul rejoiced in the testimony of the Roman Christians, which demonstrated the reality of the effects of the gospel in their lives. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Our Field of Battle. The text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 4. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you, to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. We have no enemies, but the enemies of God. Our fights are not against men, but against spiritual wickednesses. We war with the devil, and the blasphemy and error and despair which he brings into the field of battle. We fight with all the armies of sin, impurity, drunkenness, oppression, infidelity, and ungodliness. With these we contend earnestly, but not with sword or spear. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Jehovah our God abhors everything which is evil, and therefore he goeth with us to fight for us in this crusade. He will save us, and he will give us grace to war a good warfare and win the victory. We may depend upon it that if we are on God's side, God is on our side. With such an august ally, the conflict is never in the least degree doubtful. It is not that truth is mighty and must prevail, but that might lies with the Father who is almighty, with Jesus who has all power in heaven and in earth. Soldiers of Christ, gird on your armor, strike home in the name of the God of holiness, and by faith grasp his salvation. Let not this day pass without striking a blow for Jesus and holiness.
Sound forth and let your trumpet sound, to travel where the saints have trod, press on to higher ground. And be not thou discouraged, though Satan's host unsaid, against you God has said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Soldiers, this the mighty call, hold fast and gird your armor on, for soon you'll shout the victor's song, your foes defeat is sure. Be faithful to thy captain's call, go forth in praise to conquer all, for soon creation's host will fall and crown him Lord of lords. Fix your eyes on Jesus, his promise liveth never, we'll praise his name forever in heaven's bright array. Soldiers of the cross, now the trumpet call, away, amen, amen.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
If your heart stops beating, you can have the greatest brain surgeon in the world examine your brain. It'll just be what Agatha Christie's Hercule Poirot called little gray cells. Nothing more. In other words, there's no part of you of any use apart from the core of your being. So it is with the gospel. There's no use looking at the problem of this part of my life, the problem of that part of my life, the problem of my prayer life, the problem of my home life, the problem of my finances, the problem of this, the problem of that, and look at all these ways of dealing with those problems. There's no use in doing that unless you get the gospel at the heart of it. Paul is saying, you people have a need, and that need is to plunge to the depths of the gospel. Get to know it. I want to tell you, when we adopt that, we'll find that the gospel will so govern our lives that it will teach you how to respond to every situation. As we'll see when we come to verses 9 and 10, where we have Paul's testimony. He says, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you, always in my prayers making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul's testimony. This covers every aspect of his life, but you'll see particularly it covers his prayer life and his preaching. And for Paul, by the way, those two things went together. You know the hardest thing for a preacher? In some ways, you'd say it's the preaching. Well, it can be. The hardest thing for a preacher is not the preaching. The hardest thing for the preacher is not the studying. Though I would say to any of you young fellows who think that you're called to preach, if you tell me you don't like to study, go get another job. But if you're not committing your life to a lifetime of study, you're not called to be a preacher. But that's not the hardest thing. The hardest thing is not even dealing with the deacons. And I'm speaking now in Baptist church terms, because they deal with the deacons. We have elders and deacons. Willie Mullen, the great Baptist preacher in Northern Ireland, years ago, talked about Moses and the 70 elders that he had, and all his deacons were lined up along the front. And you'd have to know Willie Mullen. He was a very dramatic preacher, and he would have a habit of going like this, and he'd have the Bible open and he would just close the book and point. Very dramatic kind of preacher. And he closed the book and he took off the glasses and he said, Moses had 70 of these fellows. God help him. And he mentioned the number that he had. And he said, I don't know how you put up with them, but they break my heart. Well, I can't say that. I can't say that. In the mercy of God, nobody has been blessed with better deacons and elders than I have throughout my ministry, in the three churches in which I've served, so I can't complain. But dealing with the deacons and the elders, it's not the hardest part of the ministry. Visiting the sick and the dying is a challenge. A great burden to go. You walk into a hospital room and you realize this person's going out into eternity. I am the mouthpiece of God. That's a burden, but that's not the hardest part of the ministry. The hardest part of the ministry is not giving up your job. I've often told you, when God called me into the Free Presbyterian ministry, he called me to nothing as far as finances were concerned. The lowest paid workers in the worst jobs would have been paid like kings compared to what we could have looked forward to. We had nothing. We expected nothing. But that wasn't the hardest part. I never thought that was an imposition. It was just a chance to prove God. You know the hardest part of the ministry for the preacher? It's his prayer life. That's the hardest part. When the devil will use everything, he'll even use his need to study. He'll use his need to visit. His need to counsel. His need to do this and that. He'll do anything to keep him from prayer. For Paul, praying and preaching went together. And I can tell you, the less preachers have become men of prayer, the less they have become efficient preachers of the Word of God. His prayer life and his preaching life went together. He preached the gospel before men. But when he came before God, what was he doing? He was pleading the gospel before God. And he was crying out for the success of the gospel. You see, Paul couldn't do anything apart from the gospel. It was that which was the core of his being. It was the foundation and the fullness of his whole life. And that's the testimony he gives in verses 9 and 10. He says, God is my witness. What's he saying? I live sincerely before God. What a testimony. I believe this gospel. This is not a job for me. I'm not in this for a career. The man that would come into the Christian ministry for a career is a lunatic. Or a very arrogant man. Paul wasn't in this for a job. At times he didn't have money even to buy the necessities of life. And he had to lay aside his preaching to go out and make tents and sell them to make enough to live on. He wasn't in it for the money. He wasn't in it for the career. He wasn't in it for the glory. He had far more glory in earthly terms before he ever came into the ministry. He says, I am living sincerely before God. You see, he emphasized this because many in the Church of Rome had never met him. And they might well have heard some of the things that Paul's detractors had said about him. They were always criticizing him. Paul himself, writing to the Corinthians, said, we are not as those that corrupt the Word of God. And he says, as of sincerity we speak the truth. Paul said, I'm living in all sincerity before God. And I never forget, God is my witness. I was just praying about that this morning. Lord, stamp that in my heart. This heart of mine would stray. It would go into wickedness and selfishness and lustfulness and sinfulness and worldliness and coldness and unbelief. Lord, let me know that God is my witness. Doesn't matter who sees me. Doesn't matter who knows me. Doesn't matter who can look into my heart or not. God is my witness. There's not a thought in my brain. There's not a emotion in my being. There's not the slightest idea that can cross my mind. There's not an action, however private, but that God is my witness. That's what Paul says. He says, my testimony is, and I would to God that we could honestly say it. I fear to say it. My heart condemns me as I read Paul's testimony. Paul could say, I call the all-seeing eye of God. Let him search me to the depths of my being. There is no trace of hypocrisy in me. I am sincerely 100% governed by the gospel. What a testimony. What a testimony. to the Galatians, he said, "Do I seek to please man?" Paul knew better than that. "If I yet pleased man, I should not be the servant of Christ." And I'll tell you, that's the secret of what's wrong with a whole lot of Christian living. That busy trying to please men that we can't please God. Make it up in your mind. Let it be known. You, if you're not saved, and what's keeping you from Christ is the fear of man, if you're trying to please men, it'll take you to hell. You can't please men and please God. And if you're a Christian, make it clearly evident to your own mind. If I am going to be the servant of God in an evil world, I am not going to be loved by the world. Do I now try to please men? No, I don't. For if I set out to please men, I will not please God. We are not to live doing what we do with eye service as man pleasers. But we are to act as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's what we're to do. Paul says, I live sincerely before God. In verse 9, he also says, in effect, I live simply to spread the gospel. Notice what he says, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. What does that mean? He says, when I preach, my whole heart is in it. This is not a mechanical thing to me. My soul is committed to this. And what is it? The sphere of everything I do is the gospel of the Son of God. Now you might say, well, Paul was an apostle. Paul was a preacher. Paul was a missionary. Paul was a full-time worker. I'm a shop assistant. I'm an office worker. I'm a teacher. I'm this. Listen, I don't care what you are. If you're a Christian, you believe the gospel. Serve in the gospel of his Son. He says, I live simply to spread the gospel. Now he'll take up this theme more fully in verses 13, 14, and 15. But here he's making a very important point. He says, I am living to serve God by spreading the gospel. The word serve is a very interesting word. The root of the word means worship. It is to serve in a manner. It's religious service, in a manner of worship. Now, there's a big theme. The greatest act of worship is the proclamation of the gospel. Churches need to emphasize that. I get twitted now and again, sometimes more than twitted, I suppose. You Free Presbyterians tend to preach long. Most other churches have an hour's song service and a 15-minute. Or if it's a very, very long service, a 30-minute sermon. And whoever told you singing is important? I'm a Protestant. I'm a Calvinist. It was the Protestants of Geneva, along with Luther, who emphasized the part of the congregation in singing as an integral part of Christian worship. I believe in it. But whoever told you that singing is the most important part of worship? What's wrong with a Church of Christ when they can spend an hour listening to musicians and go home and watch television for another 3 or 4 hours? But they can't listen to the exposition of God's Word for 1 hour. What's wrong? You're governed by the gospel. Go and tell that to the Marines. I don't know if you use that statement here. One way you tell it to the Marines, mean they may be willing to believe you, but don't tell me that. The greatest worship is to proclaim the gospel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.